Bible says, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood, beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, and Latin, and Hebrew, this is the King of the Jews. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of it, the power of it, the preservation of it. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the good singing tonight. Lord, that's blessed my heart, the choir and the special. Lord, even the congregational singing. Lord, I'm just glad I'm in church tonight. All the places I could be tonight, I'm in church, and I'm grateful for that. Lord, you put this little phrase in my heart early this morning. Can't get away from it. So, Lord, help me deliver the burden. I pray for this one here tonight that's lost. I pray you'd save him by your grace. And what you do, we'll thank you and we'll give you glory for it. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We dealt this morning with verse number 33, and we preached on a whole verse. We broke up to the direct path, and when they were coming to the place which is called Calvary, we dealt with the detailed process. There they crucified him. And then we dealt with the different products, the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And as we read this text and the surrounding text, Mark 15, Matthew 27, Luke 23, and John 19, they all have something in common. They are all writing from their different perspectives about things that happened at the cross. I notice there's a lot of interesting people around the cross. There are those, by way of introduction, there are those around the cross that are suffering. Of course, we know Jesus is on the cross. He is suffering. But then there are the two other malefactors. Even though they were not scourged, it still was not a pleasant experience to have spikes drove through your hands and feet and to be nailed to a cross as time of execution. There are also those there that are what I call they are seeing. The Bible said, I referenced it this morning, the Bible said in Matthew 27:36, and sitting down, they watched him there. They just wanted to see what was going to happen in that situation. Then there are those there that are sobbing. Jesus will look at those women in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 27. There followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. And of course, we know in John 19:25 says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And they are sobbing around the cross as they watch their Savior bleed and die. There are those around the cross that are seeking. There is that thief on the cross in verse 42 that cries out for mercy and says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. But I'm interested in verse number 35. There are those that are speaking around the cross. And they begin to speak in verse 35, and the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. These words that they speak to the Lord Jesus are what I call taunting words. They're taunting him. They're not speaking in credibility. They're saying, well, if you be the Christ, save yourself. He saved others, save yourself. They're taunting him. They are terrible words. What a terrible thing to say to somebody that is dying. They are transgressing words. They are sinning against God when they speak these words. They are treacherous words. They are thoughtless words. They are troubling words. But I do have to say, they are true words. This crowd is lost. They're on their way to hell. They don't know God. Somebody said they wouldn't know God from him in the middle of the road. They wouldn't know Jesus Christ if they saw him hanging on a cross, because they did. But they made a statement that was true in this text. And this little statement I hadn't been able to shake all day long. You know what they said? He saved others. And even though these are taunting words, treacherous words, troubling, thoughtless words, these are terrible words. They are true words. In fact, what they said was right when they said, he saved others. I have been chewing on those three words all day long. He saved others. And this morning I preached on a whole verse and gave you 3 points. I'm going to preach on three words tonight and give you 3 points. I want to preach on He saved others. Well, there's my title and there's my 3 points. He saved others. Aren't you glad that He saved others? Now, I want to break that phrase down, and I'm going to, man, my alliteration and my outline is just going full blown. I got a point for each word. Ain't that terrible? But I believe every word in the Bible is true, and I believe every word of God is pure. So I want to say 3 things about these 3 words. Number one, we find the Savior examined. He. Who is this He they're talking about? Well, in this text, we know it to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is He? Well, Galatians 4 teaches He was the sent Son. Galatians 4 said, when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Who is this He? The Savior examined. He was the sent Son. He was also the sinless and spotless Lamb of God. Over in 1 Peter 2, he said, he did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Hey, I want to say it again. I know I preach it over and over again, but let me say it one more time. He did not sin. He could not have sinned. If He had the ability to have sinned, Brother Michael, He couldn't be our redemption. He couldn't be our sacrifice. But aren't you glad He showed us that He was the pure, the holy, the undefiled, separate from sinners, Son of God. Oh, John the Baptist baptized Him in the Jordan River that day. And as Jesus came out of that muddy water of the Jordan, God sent the Holy Ghost down on a dove and said, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. A dove still will not land on anything that is dirty or polluted or dead. And that dove landed on Jesus Christ, signifying in the nation of Israel, He is the Son of God. He is pure. He is sinless. He is holy. Hey, am I reminding you this evening, the angels ain't flying around in heaven saying, love, love, love. But they're saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We got a holy Savior tonight, don't we, church? We got a holy Savior that's got a holy Bible, that's got a holy city, that's got a holy church, and He's got a Holy Ghost. Amen. Aren't you glad He's holy tonight? Amen. Who is He? The Savior examined. He's the sent Son. He's the spotless and sinless one. He's the submitted servant. Philippians 2 said He humbled Himself as a servant, became obedient unto death, humbled Himself as a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'll say it over and over again. He willingly laid down His life. He submitted Himself to the authority of His Father. He submitted Himself to the hands of cruel and wicked men that didn't even deserve to walk upon the ground that He was hanging on that day. But aren't you glad He submitted Himself? Hey, He didn't stop being God in Bethlehem. He simply wrapped Himself in flesh, was born of a virgin, and He submitted Himself to His Father. But most of all, the Savior examined that He is the sacrifice for sins. John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So in this little phrase, He saved others, we see the Savior examined. Second word, second point. He, the Savior examined. Here's the second one. Saved. That's the salvation extended. Now this word saved, I ain't going to be long tonight, but I'm really headed to one word. And we done got 2 words identified, so I'm going to let you a hint on what the third word is. You ain't got to be deep to be here tonight, boys. I'm just telling you. He saved. This word saved is the Greek word sozo. And it has several different meanings. It means to save from a suffering, save from perishing, to preserve from danger, to rescue. Now, you Bible students know that when you study a word in the Bible, you ought to use the principle of first mention. The first place the word saved, or the first place the word is used in the Bible, you ought to go there, look at the context, and most of the time, the definition of what's going on in that text will be a good definition for you to base that word on for the rest of the Bible. You picking up what I'm laying down? So the first time the word saved is used in the Bible is in Genesis 47. Now, in Genesis 47, we understand that Joseph is second in command in the land of Egypt. We understand there's been 7 years of plenty. Joseph's brethren has come down during that 7 years of famine. And Joseph has sold them corn. Joseph's revealed who he was to them. And now they're living in the land of Goshen. You call up the speed. So in Genesis 47, the money, they're in the middle of the famine in Egypt. And the money begins to fail in the land of Egypt. So the Egyptians come to Joseph and say, our money is failing, we need bread. And so they sold their cattle to Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread for their cattle. But then the bread they got for their cattle wore out. They didn't have anything else, so they come back to Joseph, and Joseph said, all right, I'll buy you, and I'll buy your lands, and I'll give you seed to sow on the ground. You can move into the city, and you can sow in the ground. So watch this now. Genesis 47, 23. Then Joseph said unto the people, behold, I bought you this day, and the land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you. Ye shall sow the land, and it shall come to pass in the increase. Ye shall give a fifth part unto Pharaoh, and the fourth part shall be your own, for the seed of the field, and for your food, and for your them of your household, and for food for your little ones. And watch it now. And they said, thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we'll be Pharaoh's servants. Somebody said, preacher, what's the big deal? Do you not see the application? They are in a dry and barren land. It's famine. And you know what? Their money they was trusted in, it failed. And it didn't bring them any satisfaction. And so they tried their possessions, and the cattle didn't bring them any satisfaction. But when they got to an end of themselves and come to Joseph, who was a great picture of Jesus Christ, you know what Joseph said? I'll buy you, and then I'll give you seed. I'll just make you mine. Are you picking? Hey, are you getting a hold of this? He said, I'll buy you, but you're not going to be slaves. You're just going to be servants to me, and I'm going to give you seed, and you to give a fifth part to Pharaoh, and the rest you take care of you. You know what they said? You saved our lives. Well, do you remember when money couldn't get you in and your possessions couldn't get you in? So you laid aside your money and you laid aside your possessions and you come to Jesus, and he bought you, thank God. But you're not a slave tonight. You're a son. You're a servant. You're in the part of the family of God. And you know what we're saying? He saved our lives. He saved our lives. I would have starved to death in this world. I would have went down in this world. But I went to the heavenly Joseph, and he sought me, and he bought me, and he put me in his family. Amen. That'll preach if we'll study it. Amen. So that's the first mention. You ever heard of the principle of the final mention? It's not only good sometimes to look at the first mention, but sometimes it's good to look at the last mention. And the last time you find the word saved in the Bible is in Revelation 21. And the city hath no need of sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gate shall not be shut all day, shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Somebody said, preacher, what's the big deal? It's talking about nations being saved. Yeah, after the tribulation period, after the great white throne judgment, after the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, he's setting up that eternal reign. And those nations that rejected the Antichrist and rejected the devil, those nations that were saved, they're going to be, by the way, nations are made up of people. And them people that are saved, they're walking down a street of glory. And they don't need no sun there, because the Lamb is the light. And they're not worried about anybody getting in hurt, because the gates are wide open. There's a Lamb there. There's a light there. But there's liberty there. Does that not sound like what it needs to be saved? I tell you, when you got saved, the light began to shine. And the Lamb moved in. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. Ain't it good to be saved? So he, the Savior, examined. Saved, the salvation extended. But others, this is what I call the sinner's experience. He saved others. Now, when I use the word experience here, I'm not talking about you experience salvation, but I'm talking about using it as a word for your testimony. Now, Let me divert from the text for just a moment. This crowd knows Jesus. This crowd speaking against him. They would not have said he saved others if they didn't know something about his ministry. Now, we don't know how much they knew, Brother William. We don't know how much they know. But we do know they knew a little bit. And so I got to thinking. And I got to studying about some of them others that he saved. And I got to thinking, I wrote a few of them down. You know what? He saved one time that was destitute and blind. Luke 18, Bartimaeus is sitting by the wayside begging. He's got his little cup out there looking for a little bit of help. He is begging for change, looking for some help. But all of a sudden he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming his way. And he began to cry out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." But the Bible said the more when we began to cry out, the crowd began to quiet him and we tried to tell him to hush. Oh, but the Bible said he cried yet the more, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And the Bible said Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. Picture the Holy Ghost of God bringing a sinner to Jesus. You know what he did? He opened his eyes. You know what? You know what Bartimaeus say? "I'm one of them others. I was destitute and blind. I had no hope. I could not see. But I'm glad I'm one of the others." He saved that man that was destitute and blind. He saved that man that was deceptive and boastful. See, in Luke 19, you meet a man who was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Old Zacchaeus. That publican, he robbed people and done tax collector, done people wrong. Oh, but he heard about Jesus. And the Bible said he sought to see Jesus for who he was. And so he climbed up in that sycamore tree and he began to look for Jesus. And Jesus done treat him a sinner, amen. Jesus stopped where he's at and said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today." And the Bible said Zacchaeus come down and received him joyfully. Aren't you glad he can save the destitute that's blind? Oh, but he can save that man who's deceitful and boastful, full of pride and riches. But you know what Zacchaeus said? "I'm glad I'm one of the others. I'm glad I'm one of the others that he saved." How about that man that was demonized and bound? Mark chapter 5, the maniac of Gadara. Y'all getting a hold of this? I'm headed to one thing. Stay with me. That man, he had made his living. He lived in the tombs. They couldn't bind him with chains. I'm telling you, the devil had wrecked and ruined his life. And one night, he sees a little boat out in the ocean. And it looks like it's about to go down in the storm. But all of a sudden, a silhouette stands in that moonlight. And all of a sudden, the waves lay down. And it's calm. And that man says, if he can calm a storm like that, I wonder what he could do in me. Because the Bible said when Jesus stepped off the gangplank in Gadara, that boy was at his feet and he is a praying for mercy. You know what happened? That old boy got born again. He was clothed in his right mind. And Jesus said, "Go back and tell your friends. Go show and tell what great things the Lord has done for you." You know what that maniac said? He said, "I'm one of the others. I'm one of the others. I'm one of the others." Does this make any sense? How about that man, that woman that was diseased and broken? Mark 5, she's got an issue of blood, 12 years, and suffered many things of many physicians and spent her all, but grew worse. Oh, but she heard about Jesus. The Bible said she come behind him in the press. That's not CNN and Fox and Newsmax. That's all the people, all right? Amen. God wouldn't put something so wicked as the news media in the Bible. Can I get an amen out of that? And the Bible said she come up behind him, and she didn't touch this pocket. Amen. She didn't touch the side, but she got down there to the hem and touched that hem of his garment. That hem, I can sew a button on a coat and that's about it. Well, here's what I do know about sewing. The hem is the finishing work. So she reached up and touched the finished work by faith. She touched his hem, but she touched his heart. He turned around and said, "Daughter." Bible said she knew what was done in her. Hey, if you ever touch him, ain't you glad, by the way, Jesus knows the difference between somebody bumping into him and somebody will touch him. And he said, "Who touched me?" And the disciple said, "Lord, you got all these people and you ask who touched me?" He said, "No, I felt virtue. I felt virtue. Somebody's touched with faith." And the Bible said he turned about to see her. He knew who it was. She stepped forward. She knew what was done in her. And she told him the whole matter. You know what? He saved her. She said, "I'm one of the others." How about that woman that was divorced and beckoning? John 4, 5 husbands. And the one she's with wasn't even her husband. You talking about a messed up life. Talking about a messed up world. Talking about she had put her trust over and over again and been let down. But when she went to the well that day, she went with a water pot but left with the well. You know what she'd come back saying? Come see a man. Come see a man. Come see a man that told me all I ever did. You know what she said? She said, I'm one of the others. I got to hurry through this. How about that crowd that was defiled and banished? Luke 17, the 10 lepers. Because of leprosy, they were banished from their home. Couldn't be with their family. Oh, but they cried out to Jesus, and Jesus had mercy on them and healed them. But that one returned to give thanks. You know what he said? I'm one of the others. I'm one of the others. How about that man in John 5 that was defeated and bedridden? He was lame on his feet, laid by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, waiting for the moving of the water. Ain't it funny? Jesus walks up to him and says, wilt thou be made whole? Jesus, the Son of God, who has all power, all ability, all authority, wilt thou be made whole? Well, Lord, I ain't got nobody to put me in the pool. You know, that's how we are. We're waiting by some pool somewhere, wanting God to do something for us. He walks up and says, I'm here to help you, but we're looking for a service. We're looking for something special. We're looking for something emotional, when all we got to do is take him by faith at his word, and he'll give us exactly what we need. And Jesus said, rise up and walk. And that old boy picked up his bed and started walking. And he walked out of that place never to walk back in there again. He was defeated and bedridden, but he got up. He's one of the others. How about that man in John 3 that was distinguished, but he wasn't born again? Nicodemus, he went to Jesus by night and said, we know thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do the miracles thou doest except God be with him. Couldn't quite all get it figured out. Somebody said, Nicodemus ever get saved? I believe he did. John 19, he comes to the cross. Yeah. Hey, man, when nobody else would be identified with him, he said, I'll be identified with him. Yeah. Then this other fellow walks up. Said, yeah, I'm one of them others. But I wasn't destitute and blind. I wasn't deceptive and boastful. I wasn't demonized and bound. I wasn't diseased and broken. I wasn't divorced and beckoning. I wasn't defiled and banished. Y'all pray. I have a problem with alliteration, all right? I wasn't defeated and bedridden. I wasn't distinguished. I wasn't distinguished but not born again. You know what I was? I was dead and buried. My name's Lazarus. I've been in the grave 4 days. But all of a sudden, I heard a voice. And that voice went beyond the stone. And it went beyond that little staircase down there. And it went beyond the grave clothes. And it went beyond the grave. And it found me. I'm one of the others. Talking about them others. So I said, preacher, what's so great? Did you know that these people that said he saved others have a convert to their record? Because of what they said, he saved others, an old boy got saved by what they said. Look at verse number 139. And one of the malefactors which were hanging railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Do you see it? Verse 40. But the other. Come on now, it's the best point I got. He saved others. And he got that old boy, one's a crying and a cussing, but the other. Y'all are so boring. Sometimes I wish this was a black church so I could preach like I wanted to. Amen. But the other answering him. Watch it now. Watch what he said. But the other answered him, dost thou not fear God, sin not the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. This boy wasn't destitute and blind. He wasn't deceptive and boastful, demonized and bound, diseased and broken, divorced and beckoning, defiled and banished, defeated and bedridden, distinguished, but not born again. He wasn't even dead and buried. I'll tell you what this boy was. He was doomed and a breath away from hell. Oh, but he was one of the others. And just in time, he called out to God for mercy. And aren't you glad Jesus loves sinners so much? He'll stop dying long enough to save one. You know what happened? They said, yeah, he saved others. But when that day ended, that boy said, yeah, and I'm one of the others. 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 Aren't you glad Jesus saved others? But I'm glad on April the 9th, 1997, I became one of the others. I got born again, saved by the grace of God, heaven bound with a hammer down. And I'm looking at people tonight. I don't know about you, but I believe you might be part of the others tonight. I believe you've been born again. I believe you've been saved by the grace grace of God. Ain't it good to be saved? Ain't it good to be redeemed? Ain't it good to know your sins have been washed away? You've been washed in the blood. You've been sealed in the day of redemption. Your past is gone. Your sins are gone. Your future is bright. Heaven's your home. God is your Father. Jesus is your brother. The Holy Spirit's your guide. The Word is your counsel. The church is your home. The family of God is your people. I'm dead tonight. I'm glad I'm part of the others. In fact, I almost would change a word to a song I know. I'm saved to the othermost. I know that ain't the right words, but it's a fitting good. Aren't you glad tonight that when you heard he saved others? Oh, but then it wasn't others, but he saved me. You see, what's the difference between that crowd and this crowd I'm preaching to tonight? He saved others, but they never knew how good it was to be saved. Ah, but we read he saved others. We say, yeah, boy, I know he saved others because he saved me. He saved me, amen. You ain't got over getting saved, have you? I surely hope you hadn't get over a resurrection taking place in your life. How Jesus brought you from darkness into life. How he brought you from death into life. How he brought you from the dungeon to liberty. Aren't you glad for it? Oh, I'm telling you, it's good to be saved. He saved others. You know what? The Bible said they said it derided him, mocking him, scoffing him. Well, he saved others. However they meant it, God said, I'll use that, and I'm going to save the pudding out of that old boy. And I'm going to let some crazy preacher on a Sunday night in April 2022 get up there and preach that lost people sermon. He saved others. Are you a part of the others tonight? Apparently not. Nobody raised their hand. Maybe I need to give an invitation. Are you part of the others tonight? This means raise your hand. Amen. I'm glad I'm part of the others tonight. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. I'm glad for God so loved the world. And I'm glad he loved the church. But I'm glad he loved me. I'm glad he saved the world. I'm glad he'll save anybody that'll call upon him. But I'm happy he saved me that night. I'm glad when I called, he saved me. Amen. Do you have a testimony of salvation? Oh, go back with me. Go back with me. Oh, go back with me. Well, preacher, I don't remember the time. Don't worry, he does. I don't remember the day. Preacher, I didn't write it down. Don't worry, he wrote it down. He said, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. No, that person may not have wrote in your Bible the night you got saved, but there was a God in heaven that took a pen out, and he wrote your name down, and there ain't a racer in or out of hell big enough to take it out. Aren't you glad we're saved eternally tonight? Aren't you glad he's not going to throw us away? He's not going to disown us, but we're saved. We're saved. You better help me preach. We're saved. Saved. I didn't join the church. I got saved. I didn't get baptized. I got saved. I didn't turn over a new leaf. I got saved. Amen. I didn't start being a better person. I got saved. You ever got saved? You ever got born again? If you hadn't, you ought to. It's pretty good. This crowd in Luke 23 thought they were disdaining him and mocking him. Ah, he saved others. And that old boy said, really? I wonder if I could be one of them others. Well, y'all are disappointing my sermon so much. I shout all in my office. Y'all just say, well, I'm praying God he saved others. Amen. Look, I don't preach for y'all's response. Amen. I'm just telling you, though, he saved others. Saved others. Do you remember the night when it went from being to others, but it went to being me? Amen. Amen. I love what Billy Mitchell said. I don't know exactly when I got saved, but I know when I found out about it. Because some people struggle with that. But when you came to Christ, he took you. Just like you was. Aren't you glad you didn't have to? It's like going to the hospital and you're bleeding. Aren't you glad those folks at the hospital, if you go show up at the hospital and you're bleeding, they don't say, whoa, 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 don't come in here, you got blood. You clean yourself up, get that wound stopped, and then come up here and we'll help you. Oh, no, 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 no. The door's wide open, never locked. You got an emergency, come on in. And aren't you glad salvation's that way? Yeah. Door's open, come on in, we'll take you just like you are. By the way, a good ER won't leave you like they found you. a good one. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight, aren't you glad that Jesus saved others?